Turning to the hymn 672 for our opening praise this evening, 672. There's a call comes ringing o'er the west as waves. Send the light, there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light. 672, and we'll stand to sing, please. Let's stand to sing. In the presence of the Lord tonight, let us bow our heads in prayer, seek the face of God at the throne of grace and prayer. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we bow in thy holy and thy most sacred presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the privilege that thou hast given to us this night to come to thy house to worship thee, to gather round thy precious word, to sing the gospel hymns of praise. And O God, I pray that thou wilt help us, Lord, to be led by thy Spirit, even, Lord, into all truth this evening. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And, O God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt take of thy word, that thou wilt apply thy word with power to each and every one of our hearts. We do remember every head that's bowed in thy presence. We remember every home that's represented. We pray that our God, that you'll bless our homes and bless our families and bless our loved ones. Those that are not saved, that you'll save them. Those that have wandered, we pray that thou will restore them. And O God, that thou will build up and bless and encourage and strengthen thy people and help them to go on with thee. We thank thee, our God, that thou art still upon the throne and that thou dost still remember thine own blood-bought people. We thank thee for thy hand upon us already this day, for the ministering of thy precious word, and we pray that even this night that we might know liberty and power in the Holy Ghost in the proclamation of thine infallible truth. We pray that you'll bless those that are in vacation at this time. We pray that thou will be with them. Help them to honor thee in all things And we pray that they might never forget that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Remember those that mourn tonight. We thank thee that thou hast said in thy word, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we pray that thou will comfort those that mourn, that thou will put thy loving arms around them and draw them close unto yourself. For those who are sick tonight, we pray that thou will heal them. We thank thee that thou art still the great physician, and there's nothing too hard for thee. And so we leave the service in thy hands. Remember those who are listening in the World Wide Web. We pray that, Lord, that thou will bless them, that thou wilt, our God, even use this service for the glory and the honor and the majesty of thy lovely and thy holy name. Oh, may the Savior be exalted tonight. And in all things, we know that if I be lifted up from the earth, thy word says, I will draw all men unto me. And so tonight we pray that thou wilt, Lord, bless us in the proclamation of thy truth. And we pray that thou wilt draw men and women and young people to a saving knowledge of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Brother McKay in Castle Derg tonight. We pray that thou wilt help him to preach Christ. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless him and Lord, just strengthen and encourage him even as he ministers thy word there. And so be with us now. And Lord, just rejoice our hearts. Help us to sing thy praises out of a full heart. And for we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. We're turning to another lovely old hymn, 678, 678. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the glad news all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. 678, we're going to stand. Let's sing this hymn together. Really sing it out with all of your hearts tonight. Amen. Let's stand to sing. To have our brother Stephen Greer tonight. We're going to ask him to come and minister to us in song now. Stephen, God bless you as you sing.
my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him.
Blessed salvation, one.
Stephen for ministering to us in song. We'll hear from our brother in a few moments' time. We want to welcome tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that God will bless our coming together as we gather here in God's house. And we pray that the Lord's hand will be upon us for good. Also, we think of those that are in vacation at this time. Do pray for them that God will bless them, that they'll be strengthened in their own body and in their minds, and that the Lord's hand will be upon them for good. I want to make the necessary announcements as quickly as I possibly can. On Thursday evening of this week, as you know, a number of the meetings are, the organizations of the congregation are enjoying their summer break at this time, and so therefore on Thursday night is the important meeting, and that's at 8 o'clock, the prayer meeting and the Bible study. We'd ask you to please remember that to come and to gather around the Word of God for the time of study of God's Word and then the throne of grace in prayer. Then on the Lord's Day at 11:30, we have the prayer meeting before the morning service. 12 noon is family worship. 6 p.m. the prayer meeting in the evening time, and 7 o'clock will be the old-time gospel evening service. So do remember these meetings and pray that God will bless. Reverend McKee will be here to bring God's Word at both services next Lord's Day, and do pray that God will richly bless him even as he does that next Lord's Day. Anne and I will be leaving tomorrow morning, God willing, for the States. And do remember us in prayer, especially the 2 weeks that we're in charge of the work there in Orlando, that God will help us and that the Lord will give us the joy of being encouragement to those in that congregation there, that God's hand will be upon them for good even at that time in Orlando. Can we mention to you also just some other issues? First of all, the Vacation Bible School. That is from the 14th to the 18th of August. So please remember that. That's for the boys and girls. The Vacation Bible School is a week this time. It's from the 14th onto the 18th of August. And do pray that God will bless in that Vacation Bible School. Then the Vision Magazine is available for those who have ordered it. It's out there in the hallway. Please get your copy of the Vision Magazine. The missionary prayer request for this week, Mr. Stephen Miller and Ruth Miller in Uganda, and the Reverend Wesley Irwin in Rutherglen in Glasgow, and the retiring missionary offering is after those services this Lord's Day. We'd ask you to please remember in prayer just the, whenever we return home, we're going to meetings in Hylee over there in England. Pray that God will bless us in that conference there and that the Lord's hand will be upon us for good as we bring God's precious word in that conference in Hylee outside London. And then at the beginning of September, remember a mission in Newton Ards. Pray that God will bless us there as we have that gospel mission there. And then in October, down in Londonderry, in our congregation there. And in November, also in over there in Convoy, over in the Irish Republic. I was in Corrigarry this afternoon. That's an hour and 40 minutes away. And I can assure you, I was just anxious to be sure to get down and to get back again. And that is an hour and 40 minutes there and back again another hour and 40 minutes. But the Lord was good, and we just thank God for his presence with us. And great to see quite a large number of Orange men gathered in the church there in Corrigarry, and with the opportunity of preaching God's precious word to them. And I pray that God will write his word upon their hearts even in that service, that it might be a blessing even to the congregation down there in Corrigarry. We'd like you to please remember also there is the Whitfield Academy, which is the 2017-2018 curriculum year. Now, that's not the Whitfield College of the Bible, but it is a part of the Whitfield, and that is academy which comes out from the Whitfield, and others, anyone can be a part of that if they want to be to do that course. And then at the end of that, of course, there is the graduation. Now, it is this year, it is in Macrofelt. And it starts Monday evenings. It is Monday evenings, commencing the 16th of October, then the 23rd, the 30th of October, 13th of November, not the 6th of November, because that's our harvest, Monday evening. So the 13th, the 20th, 27th of November, 4th of December, 11th of December. And then it continues from the 15th of January up until the 5th of March on the Monday evenings. And then graduation will be on Monday, the 26th of March, 2018, in the Will of the Lord. Now, we're making that known to you, and if you'd like to have the curriculum, it takes in the false cults and false teachings, it takes in Christian doctrine, Bible survey, it takes in church history, New Testament Greek text, and also Bible survey, homiletics, and personal evangelism. I assure you, when you get all that into you, then you'll be ready for your cap on for your degree. And so therefore, that is during those, there's two terms of that, and it is on the Monday evenings here in Macrofelt. So therefore, you don't have to travel away. And Reverend McCammon is in charge of this, and also other of our ministers take part, the Reverend McDermott, Reverend Hughes, the Reverend Martin, the Reverend Greer, the Reverend Ferguson, Reverend Kern, Dr. Douglas, all of these, Dr. Elliott. These are participants in the lectures, including Islam and also different other subjects that people can learn about and have knowledge of. And certainly a very valuable course, the Whitfield Academy, and that commences the 16th of October. For those who are interested in that, then we certainly let you have the those details, and you're very welcome to have those even tonight, and we trust that you'll bear that in mind. We'd like to extend our sympathy to the Campbell family, the Mara family, the wider circle of the passing of, as I've known, Artie Campbell, the Arthur is his proper name. And we do pray that God will indeed comfort that family circle, especially members, sisters and brother at this time, and the rest of the wider his family, his children as well, that God will comfort them and sustain them. And we do ask you to bear them up before the throne of grace in prayer, and that the Lord will indeed be with them in their time of sorrow, in their time of bereavement. Now we're going to sing another hymn, and our offering hymn is going to be hymn 233. Then our brother Stephen is going to sing for us again. And then I see Pastor Loughran up there, and I didn't see him just when I, at the beginning of the meeting, so he'll come down before I come to preach. He'll lead us in prayer and commit the service to the Lord in prayer. That is 233. Once again, the gospel message from the Savior you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? For those who are visiting with us tonight, we want to welcome you. I believe there's some from Scotland, we want to say thank you for coming, and it's lovely to have you, and we pray that God will bless and others that are here this evening. May the Lord keep his hand upon you for good. Let's keep our seats. 233. Thank you. going to ask Stephen to bring his final message in the gospel now. Stephen.
Come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, as we come before Thee now, we pray that what has been already expressed in singing will be the desires of the hearts of all who are gathered here. Draw me near. And we pray that we will be brought near unto Thyself. We thank Thee that in Christ that we are made nigh by His blood, by the blood that He shed for the remission of our sins, for the redemption of our souls. And we pray that we will be drawn near to that cross, but near to the Christ of the cross, the one who loved us and the one who gave himself for us. And we pray that as that cross is preached again tonight, and as thy servant would open up thy word, and as he would preach the gospel, we pray that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would come upon him, that he would know that power from on high, that he would know that unction from the Holy One. And we pray for those who would gather here, and as they would listen, we pray that we would know that word touching our hearts, that word touching our minds, and that word being the means of bringing us onto the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that he will be uplifted. We pray that he will be exalted. And we pray that in his uplifting and in his exalting, that we will be drawn unto him. We pray that even in this gathering that there will be souls that will be drawn savingly unto him. We pray that others would be drawn restoringly unto him, and that the others would be drawn into a closer and into a more intimate relationship with him. And so, Lord, have thine own way tonight, and come in thy grace, love, and mercy, and visit this meeting, and grant that it will be a meeting with thyself. For this we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's open our Bibles this evening in the book of Romans and the chapter number 1. Chapter 1 of the book of Romans. And we want to read verse number 8. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible word. That's Romans chapter 1. And we commence reading at the 8th verse of this passage of God's precious truth. Romans chapter 1. And commence to read at verse number 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his precious name's sake. Amen. When you go to the word of God, there are many ways to study the scripture. Sometimes it's by taking a chapter. Sometimes it's just simply by taking a verse. Sometimes it's by taking a theme. Of course, one of the great themes of the scriptures are the I Ams of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how wonderful they are if you study them carefully. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the doer. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He said, I am the good shepherd. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He said also, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the true vine. He says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and or the first and the last. And how wonderful. And I would suggest to you, take your Bible down in concordance and follow through the scriptures. Say, I am the Lord Jesus, the great Jehovah, who indeed a God, a very God. And just study the I ams, the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder, whenever you're reading with me the first chapter of the book of Romans, did you notice that there were three I ams of Paul? You'll find them there in verse 14, verse 15, and verse 16. It says, first of all, in verse 14, I am debtor. I am debtor both to the Jews, or to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. And then in verse 15 he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And then verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And I want us to take the three I ams of the Apostle Paul in this chapter 1 of the book of Romans. And I want us to think about what Paul is saying here. He says, I am debtor. He says, I am ready. He says, I am not ashamed. And so I want us to think about those tonight by the help of the Lord. You see, that day when the Lord Jesus met Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, you remember, he was an out-and-out sinner. He was out to persecute and prosecute the people of God. And yet the Lord wonderfully and gloriously stopped him on that Damascus Road. That day the Lord changed him. He became a new creature in Christ. And as he said in writing to in the second book of Corinthians, he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so Paul became a new creature in Jesus Christ. The Lord really wonderfully changed him. And thank God, it is no secret what God can do. What he did for the Apostle Paul, thank God, if you're here tonight unsaved, he can do it for you. Because God is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Now, whenever Saul of Tarsus was there lying on that on the Damascus Road, and how did the light shone, and he fell from his horse, and he fell there in the dust, he asked two questions. He asked the question, he said, what wilt thou, Lord, what wilt thou have me? Or who art thou, Lord, first of all? Who art thou, Lord? And then, what wilt thou have me to do? And you notice that those two questions were answered in that passage of God's word. First of all, the Lord Jesus said this. He says, I am Jesus. His first question, who art thou? He says, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And so therefore, the Lord Jesus answered his first question. He asked the question. He said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord Jesus says, arise and go. And he told him where to go, and then it would be revealed to him what God's plan was for his life in the future days. And so therefore, if you're here tonight with questions in your heart, bring your questions to the Lord. Thank God he'll answer your questions as you wait upon him. Now, it may not just answer them straight away. Sometimes you've got to just be patient. But God will, if your heart is earnest and you're seeking God's face and you're seeking God's will, God will reveal his plan, his purpose, his will. And if you don't know the Lord tonight, thank God he'll reveal himself to you. By the blessed power of the Holy Spirit, you can experience in a wonderful way the knowledge of not only who Jesus is, but what Jesus Christ can do in your life, and how he can save your precious soul and change your eternal destiny from hell to heaven. Now, whenever we come to this first chapter, as I said, there are three simple phrases here that I want us to look at. First of all, in verse 14, it says this. Paul is saying, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Now, the word there, debtor, it means to owe, or to be obliged, or to be bound by duty. And the idea here that Paul feels, he feels an intense, an unwavering, an unrelenting duty. a sense of debt that was in Paul's heart that day that would not let Paul go. He was compelled. There was a bounding duty in Paul's life at that particular time. Now, of course, he says, I am debtor. So we could ask the question, well, who is he debtor to? Well, of course, he gives us some idea there. But I believe, first of all, he was in debt to the Lord. If you look in verse number 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. And the word servant means a bond slave. He was a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he owed the Savior everything. He owed the Savior. He was in debt to the Lord because he owed the Lord everything. You see, friend, let me tell you, whenever we think of what the Lord had done for this man, think of what God did. Here was a man that was filled with hatred against the people of God. Here was a man that was filled with religion. Here was a man that was filled with rituals and everything else that his religion, his Pharisaical religion, could do for him. And yet, the very first question that he asked on that road as he lay in the dust, exposed the darkness of his heart. He said, Who art thou, Lord? He didn't know the Lord. Now, of course, he knew about him, but he didn't know him. He didn't know him. Oh, he knew about the Lord. He was out there to persecute those that were Christians. So therefore, he knew about Christ, but he didn't know the Lord personally. He didn't know him as his Savior. He had not acknowledged him as his Lord and his Master. But praise God, he does now. Praise God, there's a change. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, the one that once he hated, the one that once he opposed, the one that once, my friend, that he despised, and God's people that he tried to kill. And yet now he's acknowledging, I'm a servant. I'm a servant. I'm happy to be a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I owe him everything. I owe him everything. He saved me. He saved me. He changed me. He changed me. And friend, those that are saved tonight in this meeting, you owe the Lord everything. Because the Lord has saved you too. And the Lord has changed you. What a change. What a wonderful, we sing the hymn, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And friend, whenever the Lord comes in, he changes a man. There has to be a change. If there's a person who professes to be the Lord's child and there's no change in their life, then let me tell you, they don't know the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus really does make a change. And that day, the Lord changed Saul of Tarsus. He made him into a new man. And that day, notice, what was this after he was saved? What was his first word? He said, Lord, Lord, Lord. In other words, what he's acknowledging here is this. He's pledging his allegiance to the Lord. He's pledging his allegiance to the Lord Jesus. He nails his collar to the masthead. And friend, those who are saved tonight, that's exactly what you have done. You have nailed your collar to the masthead. You're pledging your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're turning your back on your old past, your old life, the old way of living, and the sins of the past. And thank God you've claimed the cleansing and the covering of the blood of the Lamb on every sin. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And so he says, you're my Lord. You're my Lord. Lord, you're my master. I'm your bondslave. Tell me, what do you want me to do? You see, friend, up until that moment, he was doing what he wanted to do. He wanted to wipe out the Christians. He wanted to oppose the Lord Jesus. That's what he wanted to do. Because of his religious fervor, he wanted to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's not interested in what I want to do. He's interested in what the Lord wants him to do. And friend, whenever you get saved, that's the one that's in control of your life. That's the one that you've got to say, Lord, what do you want? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? And dear young person, I say to you tonight, listen, if you have laid your life upon the altar, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have acknowledged him as your Lord and your Master, you are a bond slave of Jesus Christ and happy to be one. Because this is not a slavery in bondage. It's a bond slave, but praise God, there's no slavery and there's no bondage because you've been set free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But you're bound to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one
who died for you. No one ever saw in that same chapter of his testimony in Acts chapter 9, if you go on down that passage, it says, And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God. That's some change. A man that went out to destroy the Lord Jesus and the people of God, and yet the Lord wonderfully stopped him and he said, Who art thou, Lord? He says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You're persecuting me. You know, friend, whenever people put their hand upon the child of God, let me tell you, they're not, we looked at that this morning, they're not simply opposing the child of God. They're putting their hand upon the Lord. They're putting their hand, because you're his. You are his. He said, listen, you are precious in my sight. You're mine. You're mine. And let me tell you, my friend, maybe you feel that nobody knows about you. Nobody cares. And yet you're a child of God. And maybe people are not interested even, perhaps even, in being bothered with you. Let me tell you, you have one that is bothered with you. You have the Lord. You have the Lord. And thank God, when you have the Lord, you have everything. And so the Lord changed him. He also knew this. Not only did he owe everything to the Lord, friend, but he also knew that Christ had called him to preach. That was the task that God had given him to perform. He was no longer his own master. He was following the Lord. And then Paul, as he lifts up the pen, and he's writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 19 and 20, he says this to the Corinthian church. He says, you're not your own. You're not your own anymore, because you're bought with a price. You have been purchased. You are the Lord's possession. Child of God tonight, you cannot decide for yourself what you'll do with your life. You will not decide with what you're going to do in the future, dear. Listen, you're not your own. You're not your own any longer. You belong to him. You are bought with a price. You see, we're saved by God's grace. But because we're saved by God's grace, we are debtors to God and to his grace. The wee verse says, I cannot work my soul to save, but that my Lord has done. But I will work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. You see, it's different, isn't it? You are different now that you belong to him. And Paul knew that he was a debtor to Christ. He says, I'm a servant. I've been called to be an apostle. I've been separated unto the gospel of God. What a privilege. What an honor for God to give this man who once hated, who once despised. You know, some people say, you know, God couldn't save so and so. I want to tell you, friend, God can save the greatest down and out. Could God save murderers? Yes, he can. How do I know? He saved. He saved Saul of Tarsus. And he was the one that was sitting there whenever Stephen was dying. They laid their coats down. That crowd that stoned Stephen to death, they laid their coats down. Why? Because he was the master of the gang, as it were. They laid their coats down at his feet. But God saved them. God changed them. Let me tell you, friend, don't you write people off. You just bring them to Jesus. That's why you ought to have a burden in your heart. You see, Paul said this. He says, I'm debtor. I'm in debt. I'm in debt. He says, I'm in debt to the Lord. But also he owed something else. He also believed, I believe that he felt a debt to those that had been faithful witnesses even to him, even before he was saved. Those who had remained true and faithful. Those that did not give up on the battle, but were willing to fight the battle. Even never he was persecuting them. There were those that were willing to stand true to the Lord Jesus Christ so that he would also hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe that that day when Stephen was murdered, I believe that that incident had a lasting effect upon Saul of Tarsus. I believe with all my heart, then, who would not have been impacted? Because the Bible tells us that whenever the council looked upon him, his face shone like an angel. He had a face of an angel. And here was this young man, and he has simply been preaching Christ. He has been exalting the Lord Jesus, and the crowd, they hate him because of the message he brings about this Jesus, this man called Jesus, this great Savior. And they lift the stones and they stone him. Yes, they lay their coats down at Saul's feet. And he watches on as this young man has been stoned to death. And what does Stephen do, friend? Stephen kneels down. No, he didn't fall down. He knelt down. And as he knelt down, he lifted his eyes heavenward. Do you know what he said? Lord, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lord, Jesus, receive my spirit. And then it says this. He fell asleep. He fell asleep. Into the arms of Jesus, friend. He fell asleep. I believe that that had an impact upon Saul of Tarsus that day. Yet, his hatred of the people of God still went on. Let me tell you, the serenity of God's child in the midst of extreme provocation and suffering surely had to speak volumes that day. You know, we owe a great debt. Whenever we think on this 500th anniversary of Martin Luther on the 31st of October, 1517, Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses to the Castle Church at Wittenberg, we owe a great debt to Martin Luther. And men like him, to Calvin, to Knox, to men that have plowed the furrow before us and stood in the gap in the hour of need. Let me tell you, friend, we also, as a Free Presbyterian Church, let us never forget, we owe a great debt to the founding fathers of this denomination. Because let me tell you, only for Ian Paisley and John Wiley and Dr. Douglas and Bertie Cook, these men that took a stand with Dr. Paisley at that time, only for them separating, we still would have been in apostasy. And many of you would have never heard the gospel. But under God, let me tell you, God raised up a testimony, and thank God their faithfulness, even in the midst of persecution. And there was great persecution, and there was great opposition. Don't forget, friend, let me tell you, there were men that stood down there at La Sara Presbyterian Church away those years ago, down in the county down, and they were spittled upon, the spittles were upon them from head to toe, for their stand for the gospel's sake. That's what our fathers did. The fathers of the forefathers in this denomination. So let's never forget. And I hear some people speaking disparaging. Let me tell you, friend, I say this honestly before God. There's some people, let me tell you, and they point their fingers, some of these men, you couldn't loose their boots or shoes. Neither could I. But they stood for God in their day. And they took a stand, and thank God that people were separated unto the Lord. Never let us forget. Listen, I can say tonight, I'm in debt. I'm in debt to them. I thank God they did. And I thank God I heard that as a young lad, as a young teenager, and God called me out to join them and take a stand for the Lord. And I you know, sometimes you lose years because I didn't know that. I was asking Dr. Johnson just the other day about whenever I was received into the college. In actual fact, that this past February, that was 50 years ago. 50 years ago, I went into the college. This year, 50 years, I went into the college of the Free Presbyterian Church and joined up with those men and endured something, a little of what they endured for the stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul felt a burden. He felt a debt. And then he said this, verse 14, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. You see, both to the wise and to the unwise. He felt a burden in his heart. You know, when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, he said this, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And friend, you and I look around the teeming multitudes of the world tonight. Look around our town. See men and women walk down the streets, and many of them have no hope of Christ. Many of them have no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and few there are who seem to care, and few there be to pray. And the lost are going down our streets, the lost of our own families. To be quite honest, they are lost in their sin, but we have lost our burden. We have lost our tears. We have lost our prayers. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon the multitude, and the Savior wept. He stood there in the Mount of Olives, and he looked over that city, and he wept over their rejection, over their unbelief. And then to hear the gospel. Do you remember the year that King Uzziah died? Isaiah the prophet, he said, I saw the Lord high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And then the question was asked with this: who will go for us? Who will go for us? Who's going to go for us and take the message to the lost? You know what Isaiah said? He said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Here am I, sent me. And you know what God said? The next verse. And he said, go. Go. Go and tell the people. Let me tell you this. You will reach people that I will never reach. But you've got to go to them. You say, but I'm not the preacher. Let me tell you, friend. You're his child. And one day you'll stand before God and you'll give an account of your stewardship of your life as a Christian. Of what you did for him. How you served him. Or didn't. Or didn't. Whether you let men and women go on to hell, but you never once told them. Paul said, listen, I'm a debtor. He says to the Greeks and to the barbarians. In other words, friend, let me tell you, irrespective of the culture, whether a person's cultured or not, or even their nationality, we owe them the gospel. Civilized or uncivilized, industrialized or primitive, rich or poor, wise or unwise, educated or uneducated, learned or unlearned, you and I owe them the gospel. Let me tell you, my friend, you and I owe the gospel to the drunkard down the street. You and I owe the gospel to our family members. You're in debt. You know what God's saying tonight? Pay up. Pay up. Pay your debt. You're in debt to God. Paul felt the burden upon his heart. He felt this burden, this constraining burden in his soul. He says, I'm debtor. I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. I'm debtor both to the wise and to the unwise. You see, Jesus said to his disciples, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We hold in our hands, friend, the answer to sin's problem. We've got the Word of God. We hold in our hearts the remedy for sin's disease. But here's the question. How will we discharge our duty? Paul says, listen, I'm a debtor. And friends, let me tell you this. He couldn't wait to discharge it because he felt the burden. Secondly, look at verse number 15. He said, not only I'm a debtor, but he says, I am ready. I'm ready. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. See the word there, ready? It means he was eager. An urgent willingness. He had both a willingness to go to preach at Rome, and in his heart there was an urgency to share the gospel. You know, God forgive us at times we have let opportunities pass. I wonder, friend, has there been someone that God laid in your heart to speak to, but you didn't go? And that was the last time you had an opportunity to do it. They're gone now. They're gone now. He said, I'm ready. He was ready to take all that was in him and off him. And he was willing, friend, to pour himself out for others. Is that to say, many of us as God's people, friend, don't put me out. I have my routine. I just do my own wee things, you know, and don't put me out. Ask me to do something for the Lord. Tell me, are you willing to pour out your life for others? For others? You see, Paul was ready to expend all his energy, all his effort in sharing the gospel, his knowledge of the truth of God. Listen, he was willing to share it. There was nothing that was going to stop him. No hindrance would be allowed to enter into his life that would affect his message. He was possessed with a readiness to preach the gospel. Oh, friend, let me tell you. He says, I'm ready to preach. Yes. But let me tell you, those weren't empty words. He did it. Just after he got saved, I've already pointed out. After he got saved, he asked the Lord what he wanted him to do. And what is this? And straightway, he preached Christ. He did it straightway. There's an urgency. Do you know why? Because, friend, these days may be the only days that we ever have. Do you not? People said to me, as I said this past week, listen, this year, it's hard to believe. We're nearly through July. And it seems the year has only started. Do you not feel the urgency of the hour, friend? Life's leaving you. The opportunity to do something for God, it's now. If you don't take, if you don't grasp the opportunity with both hands, let me tell you, my friend, you'll miss the opportunity. You'll miss it. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained that I have freed? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, the one who gave us all for me? Friend, this is your day of opportunity. Don't waste it. Only one life. It will soon be passed. And it's only what's done for Christ will last. No, Paul could say, I can't wait. I can't wait until I get to Rome so that I can preach the gospel there. You know, there were people that said, Paul, don't go. Because they realized that Paul was facing possible death. They said, Paul, don't go. Paul says, I have to. I have to. Even if it means death. Even if it means persecution, even if it means suffering, I have to. I feel the burden. And I'm ready. His eagerness to serve. You know, friend, let me tell you. Some of God's people, and they fill up their lives, and they tell me, well, I fish and I race and I football and of riding and I've got to do this and I've got to do that. What time is there for the Lord, friend? What are you giving to him? The drags of the day? Just burn out the candle of life for yourself, for the world. And then give God the smoke of the end of the day. Is that it? Is that it? You see, these things are not wrong in themselves, but I can tell you this. If you're not giving your time to the Lord, then they are wrong. If they're taking you away from the things of God, if they're stopping you and your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when it comes to witnessing, if you are ready to share the gospel, you're ready to do this, that, or the other thing, where's the urgency? Where's the passion? For souls. See, Paul's conscious. I've little time. I've little time left. And I want to serve the Lord. I am ready, says Paul. I'm ready, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome, no matter what it costs. You see, friend, before Paul died, he said this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And friend, he's going to be taken out, and his neck's going to be put upon the executioner's, to the executioner's axe. And you know, as when he has been brought out, say, Paul, it's time to go. He said, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to die. David Livingstone said these words, send me where you will, but go with me. Lay any burden on my heart, but sustain me. Sever any tie, but the one that binds my heart to thee. Lord, I'm ready. You see, Paul said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Are you ready, friend? Are you ready to serve the Lord tonight? Will you say, I'll fill that vacant seat in the prayer meeting. I'll go out and fill the vacant seat in the church and bring others in. I've got a burden. I feel the debt. And I'm ready. I'm ready to work for you, Lord. Because I'm happy to be your bondslave. Whatever it means, Lord. Then lastly, he says, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You see, friend, the day in which Paul lived was a day of moral degeneracy. Nero was the emperor. The city of Rome was a cesspool of sin and wickedness. The message that Paul was going to preach was a message of holiness. It was a message of repentance. It was a message about godly living, which was the very opposite to everything that Rome stood for. And yet Paul was willing to preach that, even though he would be mocked. Even though he would be laughed at. And let me tell you, my friend, look at the history of the Apostle Paul. See what happened in his life whenever Paul was preaching the cross. He was ridiculed. He was imprisoned. He was cast out. He was treated cruelly. He was imprisoned at Philippi. He was thrown out of Thessalonica. He was mocked in Athens. He was called a fool in Corinth. He was stoned in Galatia. Yes. Those stripes upon his back. He suffered for Christ. But he said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What about you and me? Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas? What about us, friend? What if somebody says to you, you're a Christian, would you be ashamed? Would you be ashamed of that?
Or of standing amongst a crowd of people, and neither are those that are laughing and ridiculing the things of God, would you be ashamed to stand up and say, that's my Lord?
That's my Savior you're talking about. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Sadly today, many are ashamed. They fear social exclusion. They fear being ridiculed. They fear being mocked at. They fear being rejected. They fear being ignored. They fear being passed over. They fear being cut off. Maybe even left without a job, livelihood. Maybe lose the family or friends. For Christ's sake. What did Paul say? He says, I'm not ashamed. What was he saying, friend? What was he saying? I want you to notice this. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. He says, I am not ashamed of the person of the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Now, why did he say that, friend? Because honestly, the Lord meant everything to him. The Lord meant everything to him. For me to live is Christ. That was the summary of his life. Christ. What was the burden of his heart? In Philippians 3, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, that's easy to say. But Paul knew the Lord in all of those things, even death itself. He says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. Lastly, I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. See, Paul said, it changed me. It changed me. And that gospel is able to change you. Thank God that gospel can change the drunkard and turn them into sober. It can change the immoral and make them clean. It can make the crooked straight. It can make the hell-bound sinner go to heaven. The gospel has power to deliver sinners from the bondage of sin. Yes, he said. Suffer? Yes, I may. Misunderstood? Yes, I may. Shamed because of Jesus? Yes, I may. But ashamed? No. No. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm debtor. I feel the burden of death. Do you? Do you? Do you feel the debt? To the Lord, to those that run the race before us, to your family, to your community. I'm debtor. I'm ready. I'm ready no matter what it costs. I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel at Rome also. No matter what it means. Because I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And I ask you tonight, honestly, can you join with Paul? Can you say those things? If not, why not? Why not? Oh God, examine our hearts tonight. Let us be real. Let us be real in knowing the Lord. And God, help us to really stand up for Him. And sin if you're not saved. Trust Him. You're neither ready to live, and you're not ready to die. May God save you now, that you be ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word tonight. We thank Thee for the simplicity of Thy Word. And yet, Lord, we thank Thee that there's power in Thy Word. Lord, Thy Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces. Thy Word cuts. Lord, it wounds us. We ask of Thee in Jesus' name that Thou will convict us. Help us not to leave this service tonight without doing business before Thee and with Thee this night. O God, by Thy Holy Spirit, let us not leave Thy house the same as we came in tonight. But, O God, I pray, even those who profess Thy name, help us, our God, to go out and be able to say what is said in these verses. I am debtor, I am ready, and I'm not ashamed. O God, may this be real. And if it's not, O God, make it real. Change our hearts. Break our stubborn wills. O God, help us to go through with Thee. Bless Thy Word. Friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, I pray in Jesus' precious name, don't leave tonight without the Lord. Please come and speak to us. We'll gladly show you from God's Word how you can be saved and know you're saved and be sure you're saved. Dead on certain that you're right with God. Oh God, save souls. Restore the fallen. And bring Thy people to the place of blessing. In Jesus' precious name.